Now we're learning more about a secret meeting that was to have been held over the weekend between President Trump and leaders of the Taliban at Camp David. Word came out when the president tweeted Saturday night that he was canceling talks to bring an end to the 18-year war. He said he scrapped discussions after the Taliban took responsibility for an attack last week that killed 12 people, including a U.S. soldier. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was on CNN yesterday. He was asked about hosting an organization that still supports the 9/11 attacks that killed 3,000 people.
We understand who the Taliban are. There's no more clear-eyed administration. When I was the director of the CIA, I had young men and women serving in Afghanistan, taking enormous risk to their lives. We're aiming to get this right. We're working to talk with those leaders that can actually deliver on these outcomes. That's what President Trump and I are both focused on, and we're going to keep driving towards that outcome.
So given that the peace talks are apparently shut down, what happens next? Nick Wadhams is a State Department reporter for Bloomberg. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, nobody other than those immediately involved seem to know about this idea of a meeting between the president and Taliban leaders at Camp David. What do we know about it now that the president has tweeted about it?
Well, the meeting is off, and it looks like negotiations between the U.S. and the Taliban are at a total standstill now. The Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, has not ruled out the possibility that the U.S. will withdraw troops from Afghanistan even without an agreement from the Taliban, but right now this negotiating process that had been going on for nearly a year looks to be completely frozen.
Talk about this idea and what we know about it from within the White House. Was this the president himself, key staffers? Where did this idea of this Camp David meeting come from?
Everything we've heard so far is that this was the president's idea, and this fits with his own past penchant for a love of grand gestures and personal diplomacy. He did it with the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. He's talked about doing it with Iranian leaders. And what we had heard was that there was a deal that was very close to fruition. There might be a few what the State Department called technical details that still needed to be worked out. And it was the president's idea. He said, hey, let's bring them in. I'll bring them to Camp David. I can look the Taliban in the eye. And we can get this thing done. As far as we know, that idea was pretty vehemently opposed by the president's national security advisor, John Bolton, and a lot of folks on his staff. And in subsequent interviews, Mike Pompeo made clear that the decision to bring the Taliban to Camp David had been the president's decision. So it looked from those comments like he was distancing himself just a little bit from that decision.
And we've seen at least a couple of congressional Republicans unhappy of this about this idea of the Taliban being at Camp David, especially as they indicated so close to the September 11th attack anniversaries. What are we hearing from the president's own party?
There was widespread discontent, both about two things. One was the idea of bringing the Taliban to Camp David. After all, they had sheltered Osama bin Laden after 9/11, refused to give him up, and had publicly declared their support for the 9/11 attacks. So the optics of that obviously were horrible. But more broadly, you had seen this rising swell of discontent, even among the president's most close supporters in the Republican Party, about the idea of this agreement that looked like it was coming out. They were very uneasy with the idea of the U.S. trusting the Taliban to live up to what the U.S. was seeking, which would be commitments to guarantee that terrorist groups would not be allowed to thrive on Afghan soil.
Talking to Nick Wadhams, national security reporter at Bloomberg, looking at negotiations in Afghanistan, an idea floated by the president soon canceled, a Camp David meeting between the president and Taliban leaders. Nick, you mentioned that deal that's been in the works. What does each side, the U.S. and the Taliban, offer in what we understand to be the latest version of this deal?
So the plan was, as outlined by the U.S. Envoy who was negotiating this, was that the U.S. would bring down, withdraw about 5,000 of the 14,000 troops it's maintained in Afghanistan within about a half a year. And in exchange for that, the Taliban would guarantee that it would not allow terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda or ISIS to gain traction on Afghan soil. The idea from there was that there would begin a dialogue between the Taliban and the Afghan government, which so far has been almost completely cut out from this negotiating process, and they would work together to form some sort of coalition or future government, pave the way for elections and things like that. The concern was always that the U.S. would come to this agreement on withdrawing troops and getting those security guarantees from the Taliban, and then essentially turn things over, and once it pulled out troops, the Taliban, which already controls a large swath of the country, would not take up that dialogue with the Afghan government, which it calls a stooge of the United States. So that's really where these talks foundered.
And that's a big deal, that this is the U.S. and the Taliban, not the Afghan government itself, which exists. How do they feel? How do Afghan leaders feel about not being at these negotiations about the future of their country?
Deeply unsettled, angry, I mean, you name it, furious. This was a huge problem with these talks and was the source of a great deal of skepticism for whether or not they would work. And you only have to see the reaction so far from the Afghan government now that the talks have foundered. It's a sense of relief and almost satisfaction. They were deeply, deeply uneasy. The president had called the Afghan president, Ashraf Ghani, to come to the U.S. to be at these talks at Camp David with the Taliban. But really, the Afghan government's presence there would have been almost entirely symbolic. The negotiations that have been going on so far have gone on exclusively between the U.S. and Taliban, with absolutely no Afghan government role. So they were deeply uneasy about being shut out, and also deeply skeptical that the Taliban would live up to any commitment to negotiate with them once the U.S. Cleared out in terms of its own negotiations.
And currently in Afghanistan, there's not a ceasefire or anything, right, between the Taliban and the government. We're seeing Taliban attacks, fairly big ones and fairly routinely, aren't we?
That's right. Suicide bombings and other attacks continue. And the Taliban's own hold on various parts of the country only continues to increase. And I mean, it should be noted that this was the sort of proximate reason that the president gave for why he had called this off just a day or so before an American soldier was killed in an attack that the Taliban took credit for. But those attacks have continued for weeks and months. I think 15 or 16 American troops have been killed so far this year in Afghanistan, and the number of civilians and Afghan soldiers who have been killed there is in the thousands. And this was one of the big concerns from the Afghan government. They wanted a ceasefire, and the Taliban had so far refused to commit to doing that, taking that step.
Now, this is not a new issue. The George W. Bush administration was trying to figure out what an endpoint in Afghanistan would look like. The Barack Obama administration, same deal. What is it that's making this such an intractable problem for American leaders?
Well, the big question is, okay, we put troops over in Afghanistan very shortly after September 11th to push the Taliban from power, to punish them essentially for giving shelter to Osama bin Laden. That was then achieved, but the Afghan government has never been able to stand up on its own two feet. And in the years since, the security situation has only worsened in Afghanistan. U.S. troop numbers have fallen from their peak to about 14,000 now. But you have a situation where if the U.S. pulls out those troops, there's a very real possibility that the Afghan government would collapse, the Taliban would return and take almost complete control of the country, and all the gains, limited as they may be, that were gotten from September 11th would be almost completely erased. What would be the status of women, of minorities in Afghanistan, for example, and what would happen to that government? There's a lot of concern that it would just be immediately ejected from office. The Taliban has a great deal of power. I mean, when you go to Afghanistan now, it is extremely insecure. U.S. officials travel around almost exclusively by helicopter in armored cars. The security situation is very, very grave now.
Can you talk about this as an agenda item, a political item for President Trump? He made the case that he would succeed where others had failed in bringing home American troops from Afghanistan. He's put a lot of stock in his deal-making ability to settle problems, as you mentioned, not just in Afghanistan. How important is this for the president?
Well, I think it's certainly he has wanted to fulfill a promise he made on the campaign trail, which was that the U.S. for years under successive Democratic and Republican administrations had gotten into overseas wars and risked and sacrificed the lives of American troops for no gain, and that he wanted to bring those troops home. And indeed, that's sort of one of the big issues here that has caused a lot of concern. It's essentially that the president wants to get U.S. troops home no matter the cost, and wants to fulfill that promise, and that these negotiations, according to some of his critics, are really just a cover for him to be able to bring those troops home. But you do also see the president really looking for a win in the foreign policy sphere. He's sought to roll out this brand of personal diplomacy, big gestures, on all sorts of issues, and there has yet to be real progress in any of them. It should be noted, of course, that past administrations also weren't able to make a lot of progress on issues like North Korea, for example. But when the president inserts himself into these negotiations directly, he says, I alone can fix it. He meets with Kim Jong-un, for example. Then it sort of, in the end, the responsibility for the failure of those negotiations in some ways falls to him directly, because he said he's so important to that process. So you're seeing that reckoning happening a bit now with Afghanistan as well.
And Nick, you mentioned Camp David is off. Talks are apparently postponed. What are you watching for next?
Well, the big thing will be what happens to the U.S. envoy, the former ambassador to Afghanistan, Zalmay Khalilzad. He is the State Department envoy tasked with these negotiations. He is now on his way back to the United States from Doha, where he was negotiating with the Taliban. What does he do next? What is his next step? The situation is almost completely frozen. The big thing I will be looking out for is what happens to U.S. troops. Secretary of State Pompeo was asked repeatedly yesterday on various news shows, what would happen? Will the U.S. pull out troops even without agreement on a peace deal? And he would not answer that question. He left that option wide open. He refused to say no, the U.S. would keep all of its forces there. So the big question now will be what preparations are underway. Does the president just want to get U.S. troops out even without a peace deal with the Taliban?
Nick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Nick Wadhams is a national security reporter with Bloomberg. We talked to him about President Trump's decision to cancel a secret meeting between Afghan and Taliban leaders at Camp David.